One of the very best collaborations John Lennon, Paul McCartney ever wrote, Norwegian Wood from 1965's Rubber Soul album. Classic. We're talking with Heidi Hollis about her book, The Hat Man, and I was thinking, well, look, I mean, how many people could have seen something called The Hat Man before, and we've never really heard too much about it? Well, as it turns out, not only have these sightings and encounters are fairly widespread, but they go way, way back. In the book, Heidi includes a lot of letters written by people who've had these experiences, and apparently there's an historical tradition that we'll talk about in a moment as we pick up the story of the Hat Man. Stick with us. We'll be going to the phone lines to take some of your calls at the bottom of this hour, but a lot more to cover in between now and then, so stick around. Heidi, last year the world learned about something called Slender Man. I know that stories about Slender Man have been around for a while, but it kind of came to a head last year in this horrific story about these two teenage girls, I think it was in Wisconsin, who stabbed a girlfriend of theirs and were going to kill her because they thought that was the way that they could be with Slender Man, this mysterious online figure. We know, the history of Slender Man. It was a construct. It was created, and it's pretty easy to trace it back to when it was created. But a lot of people, I mean, for a lot of folks, young people, it's very real. And I wonder if I know it's not exactly the same as Hat Man, but I wonder if it's related in this sense, in that you can sort of create your own reality, invoke something, a name or an image like this, and thus kind of invite it to become real. Have you thought about it?
I have thought about that, and it has been suggested. The strange thing when it comes to the Slender Man and the Hat Man, now again, this is a being who comes forward for sure when people regard him, talk about him, or have anything to do with the topic of him. So he's very aware of what's going on around him. Now, this is a disturbing fact to me of what took place in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the far northwest suburbs, about a 10-minute drive from Waukesha. This attack happened 2 weeks after I put out the Hat Man book.
Oh.
Yeah. So when I saw and when I heard that one of the girls that attacked the other girl said she had a dream of him telling her to do this, I was like, oh my gosh,
It's,
that
so are they the
sounds like
same
Hat
thing?
Man's
Is
MO.
were these girls thinking of Hat Man and just called it Slender Man, or what do you think?
I really wouldn't be surprised. Very much like folklore is based, partly on reality and things that have taken place. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody who helped contribute to the creation of Slender Man had actually experienced the Hat Man. He's so rampant and he's so out there as far as the people that he affects and who he shows up to. I really wouldn't be surprised that maybe perhaps these girls, one of the little girls, had an encounter with him, went to go look him up, man in a suit. Well, Slender Man wears a suit too. He's quite tall. He's pale in appearance. The tentacles that are often seen on Slender Man and some of the drawings, Hat Man has also been seen around shadow spiders that look like tentacles are near or around him or coming out of him. So it's not that far of a stretch. So I truly believe that there's a direct link. And I'm not egotistical to say, oh, he was giving me a message. He shows up 10 minutes from my home that I grew up in, 2 weeks after I put the book out. But man, he's quite direct. There's a story that I put in the book about how direct he can be. Like I
Your
said,
roommate with your roommate while you're working on the book?
no, this was actually I practice as an occupational therapist, and this is the one that has to do with him showing up not too long afterwards. I was not everybody knows what it is that I do. I'm not shy about saying what it is that I do with these books and whatnot. But I do work at a lot of different facilities, providing therapeutic services. And so sometimes, other therapists are like anxious to ask me. So Heidi, I heard that you talk, you write about these different things. And And I'm like, yeah, you know. And then I said, you know, one of my books that I'm working on right now is a Hat Man. I'm putting the finishing touches on it. And they asked me, you know, well, what is that? You know, who is it? And I described him and what he does. And they're like, oh, wow, interesting. So this is two therapists. One of them had to leave. And the other one had to get another patient, yet a physical therapist, this was, and had to bring the patient in between the parallel bars where they help somebody walk. I was in the office not too far away doing some paperwork, and probably, and this is only 15 minutes after talking about the Hat Man, and the therapist came running into the office, you know, just not making any sense. Heidi, the man. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I go out there to see what she's carrying on about, and there's our patient who is a forgetful man, but he's not delusional and or anything like that. And the parallel bars are surrounded by ceiling to floor mirrors so he can see how he's walking. And he's like, "Who is that man in the black suit that's trying to talk to me in another language?" And he's pointing, and he's looking up, you know, into this mirror. And we're like, you know, we're trying to be calm. We're, you know, it's like, "Sir, what are you speaking of?" He's like, "The man. He's right there." And he's pointing at us, and he's like, "No, he's behind you." The other therapist screams, and she looks behind her, and he's like, "No, he's over by you." And you know, and I said, "Sir, look, turn around and look at us. Do you see him?" And he's like, "What? Wait, where'd he go?" And he looks back in the mirror. There he is. And I said, "Sir, does he have a hat on?" And he's like, "I knew it. Yes, he has a hat on. You can see him right there with his hat on." And I was just like, wow. You know,
You know,
15 minutes after talking about him, there he
I
is.
think one of the best parts of your book are the letters. You include a lot of letters,
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm just surprised by the number of them, the consistency of the stories that people told. I've got a lot of emails too from people who have had Shadow Man and Hat Man experiences, and I'm just surprised that it is so widespread. But even more surprising is how far back it goes. There's one of the letters that you got that you have in the book is from somebody who's part of the Tuscarora Indian Nation, which is part of the Iroquois Confederacy. How far back do these stories go? Do these traditions go?
Oh my goodness. That I'm trying to recall how far
Icky.
that went. They said it was something that was really far in their history. I don't think they specified exactly how far back that was, but it was just part of their outright history. Like this is just something they knew, and it's a man in a black suit and hat. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, this is centuries old from what I understood. And it's like, wow, you know, it's something that I believe that there were some stories in what's his name? Oh gosh, Case Book on the Men in Black that was by Jim, oh, let me think. Jim Keith, Case Book on the Men in Black, that's what it was. And he mentioned what he thought were men in black showing up throughout our American history as well. And it was at pivotal moments when things were signed and what was going on, it would be a man in a black suit would appear out of nowhere and disappear. And also he spoke about you know, witchcraft being performed way back in the day, and a man on a black horse with a black suit or cape would show up. The cape sounds like it was something that appeared more back further in history, and it always was associated with something dark. It was always a disturbing presence, and so I'm thinking that sometimes these men in black, so-called men in black appearances, were sometimes the Hat Man appearing throughout time, not necessarily this very solid. You know, men in black are associated with aliens, you know, and they get around in cars, and there's usually more than one of them. The Hat Man doesn't need to get around in a car. He can come through a wall or go through a doorway, and he's usually by himself.
I always kind of thought those men in black stories about them being in cars was more for our benefit than that they actually needed to get around in cars. But I was surprised by that the Hat Man actually speaks. I mean, sometimes
Yeah.
he'll say stuff and it's not good stuff either.
No, it isn't. You know, it's funny because you know, I take full credit for, you know, confusing people when it came to the Hat Man and calling him the Hat Man's shadow. because you know, again, with the confusion, you know, thinking that he was a shadow person, he is not. Shadow people don't generally speak. The Hat Man can be quite talkative, but he generally will speak, though, more often than not, in your dreams. I mean, it's a strange thing. Like, you might think that you're safe away from, like, a location where he's often visiting you at night or something, but he'll reach out to you through your dreams, your nightmares.
Like Freddy Krueger.
Exactly. And the stuff that he likes to suggest and say to people, it's, I guess an example of what he does and what he likes to say to people. There was a gentleman that wrote me one time, and he was telling me about how he attempted to kill himself. He was depressed. He was going through a rough time. He woke up in a hospital bed, strapped down. And lo and behold, he wakes up, and he has a visitor in the room. Right next to his bed, sitting at his bedside, was the Hat Man. And he leaned within inches of his face and brought his fingers up as if to make a pinch and say, "I was this close to having you." And he disappeared. Yeah, he's not, he lets you know he's there for bad reasons. And then I get the people who say, "Well, he didn't scare me, so he's my guardian angel." I'm like, you know.
You make the point in the book that he's a trickster, that there have been cases where he has some kind of interaction that's, it is seen as positive, but it's sort of a means to an end, you think?
Truly. I think, I don't understand how some people can look into the face of something with red glowing eyes, black, that comes uninvited, that stares at you, that gives you the feeling of horror, as if your soul is at risk, or helps to conjure up anger and arguments, and is seen at the scenes of an accident or, you know, illness. I don't see how people can take a look at something like that and think, "Well, he's not so bad because he didn't scare me." Or the one, you know, I am not kidding when I say I have thousands of emails about this man over the years, thousands. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. With every email that I read, I just shake my head. And so many of them say to me in these emails, "Yeah, so this guy who's really evil, seems demonic or whatever he is, but, you know, I don't believe in God or anything, so I don't know what to do. What should I do?" I'm like, you just stared into the face of a demon. So you know that's real.
Well, let's talk about that. Is that what it is? Is it a demon? Is that what you think it is?
You know, but again, just to finish the thought, when you look into the face of something like this, you better hope that there's a polar opposite and to get your faith right to be able to fight this thing, or you might as well throw a shoe at it, because I don't know how else you're going to take it down. So I always suggest to people, please get your faith right, because in the face of this thing, you really, really need to. So I don't understand that portion of people's confusion about what to do about it. But when it comes to what he is, who he is, you know, a lot of people like to slap titles on things, and I wanted people to draw their own conclusions with the book. And instead of saying he is this, he is that, I got a lot of emails telling me, you know, people asking me, "Who is he? He's a devil, isn't he? Who is he? He's a demon, isn't he?" And, you know, as you read through the stories, just a sample of the many that I have, you get a sense of outright dread that whatever he is, it doesn't matter. Just know that you don't want him in your life. You don't want him nearby, and you better figure out how to get rid of him. And that's something that I strongly suggest in the book is, you know, to get right with your faith, whatever it is. You know, if it's a flashlight, you believe in the mighty flashlight, you better put that flashlight to use. I welcome people to check out my website, theotherfword.com, which is faith. And for this evening and for tomorrow, I have one. I'm a cartoonist as well, and I have a new book series that I put together that I want people, kids alike and adults, to get, you know, the message in a comical way, but also a very real way. if they go to ficklefinders.com. I have one of my books free tonight and tomorrow. If they just look for Heidi Hollis on Amazon, it's Diary Blog of the Fickle Finders. One of the books is free this evening and tomorrow. But you know, I want people to the first book in that series is on the topic of faith, and it's just so important. I also write on topics of, you know, encounters with Jesus and angels and things like that. But you know, of course, people are truly amused with the dark topics that I named, you know, and I understand that. But you know, man, you got to have a balance, because you dip your toes into this stuff and you can't get your toes out of it. You got to find that way out. And it was different for me to have to come full circle back to my faith. You know, I'm still not a Bible thumper or a church goer, but man, I got my faith straight, because I surely would not be able to speak on these things the way that I can.
Let me ask you it this way. Why does he appear to you? It doesn't happen. I've never seen Hat Man. I would imagine most of the people in my audience have never seen Hat Man or encountered him. Although you have thousands of emails, as you said, so that's a pretty broad spectrum. Yeah. You know, most people haven't. So why? Why you?
You know, I haven't seen him outright myself. He has come.
Why is he in your life, I guess, then?
You know, I don't know why he's in my life, why he hangs around me. I think when I went to tackle the topic of shadow people, that those are essentially like his minions of sorts. And that first one that confronted me, I think that it knew what I would do with the information, that I wasn't one to sit on it and not share. You know, some of these stories that I have heard over the years, if the world just heard one of them, it could change the world. But people are so afraid to talk about this stuff. I don't get it. I mean, there's worse things to be made fun of or be put down for. But, man, we've got to start educating our fellow people on these topics. It just needs to be done. So I think that these things might have seen my future, that, this Heidi girl is going to be a problem to us. Let's try to harass her a bit. But it's because of my encounters that I had with Jesus, which I was the biggest skeptic of. I was into aliens. I was into UFOs and the shadow people topic. And lo and behold, you know, I literally, in my first book, The Secret War, I had put down the thought that people were seeing Jesus in their bowl of soup to a tree trunk. I just didn't believe in it. And just before publishing that book, he showed up. And I've had 5 encounters with him, changed my tune, changed everything, and got me on the road to being able to help other people who are dealing with negative aliens, negative shadow people, whatever, because of that faith level, you know? I mean, and again, it's like I cheated in the faith that I have, because, my gosh, you only had to come and knock me on the forehead. But I've got it, and I'm willing to share. So I'm doing my best and dancing as fast as I can, I guess you could say.
Anyone, I don't know if there's a definitive answer to this, but is there anyone who's suffered greatly, other than just being scared by these encounters with Hat Man? I mean, whose lives have been ruined or have been taken away or killed or harmed?
Yeah, you know, I've had people write me and say my life was ruined because of this man. He terrorized me. He scares me. Ongoing things. And then, you know, again, it's a lot of these people, they're like, so, yeah, I used to, you know, practice a little witchcraft here and there, or I used to do drugs, and I used to, there's usually a starting point that they know of, too. And they feel like they're spiritually screwed for some reason. And I'm like, look, to your last breath, you're not. You can fix this, and you can get rid of them. The reason why he's not able to take you down kicking and screaming into the pits of wherever he crawled out of is because he can't, and you still have a chance. So, you know, it's something that I think people need to realize and empower themselves and, you know, go with that and trust their gut on their power.
Heidi Hollis, author of The Hat Man. Our conversation continues. We'll open up the phone lines. I don't know what that sound is. It's I Hear You Knocking, Dave Edmonds. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM. The song is Gentle on My Mind. I think the chances are pretty good you haven't heard that on the radio in a while. John Hartford wrote it but Glenn Campbell owned it. That song won four Grammys back in 1968. Sounds pretty good. We have one segment remaining with my guest Heidi Hollis to talk about her book, The Hat Man, a true story of evil encounters. And I know some of you have stories of your own that you want to share because you've been emailing them to me for quite a while now. So we're going to get to as many as we can right after this on Coast to Coast AM. So how many of you out there in Coast to Coast land have encountered the Hat Man? I suspect quite a few of you based on emails and messages I've received. We're going to go to our first-time caller, Adam, calling in from Toronto. Adam, thanks for joining us. What was your experience?
Well, my experience was it started with a nightmare. And I was having a nightmare about a man in a hat, and he was following me, and it was very lucid and very intense. And it got to sort of the end of the nightmare, and I did that thing where I just sort of, I forced myself into wakefulness in bed, opened my eyes, and the Hat Man is there just standing over me. And I couldn't move. Eventually I just jumped up, kicked at the Hat Man. He sort of dissipated. And then that was that. I went to bed. I woke up the next morning, sort of forgot about it. Fast forward 6 months, I'm having a conversation with a very good friend of mine who sort of confides in me. He's like, listen, man, I gotta tell you something. And just with the tone, like I knew something was up. And he told a story about how, you know, he's a kid at his grandmother's, and a man in a hat came and sat down. And at this point, my jaw just dropped. And I was like, it happened to you too? This is unbelievable. So I went home, Googled hat plus man plus nightmares, and it was like 77 million hits. Hat Man has a Wikipedia page. It would be like if the Nightmare on Elm Street kids Googled Freddy Krueger, and there's like pictures of Freddy Krueger with selfies. You know, it just blew my mind. And so from that, I did a lot of research. And Heidi was talking about sleep paralysis. And because I did wake from a dream, the explanation that the Hat Man was just my dream carrying over, and I was in sort of some netherworld between sleep and wakefulness, that was the explanation. And I accepted that for a while. But then things didn't add up. Like, why does the Hat Man look the same to everybody? So I kept doing further research, and I came across a guy who Heidi may have heard of called Michael Persinger, who's a professor at Laurentian University in Canada.
Sure.
And he did these studies with, it's called the Soren helmet, more interestingly known as the God helmet, which is an actual helmet with electrodes directed towards the subject's temporal lobes that have actually been able to trigger images of the Hat Man. Now, what Persinger was doing, he was looking for a neuropsychological basis for God beliefs. That was the title of his most famous book. But what I found interesting about this is the electrical impulses. They're just the frequency was very specific to trigger a particular thing, but they're no stronger than like a clock radio. And I mean, I'm holding a phone to my ear right now that has that kind of electromagnetism. And I did more research, and it turns out that in today's world, we're subject to, especially in urban areas, 100 million times more electromagnetic energy than, people 100 years ago. Now, that doesn't explain Heidi's, you know, experience as a child, where it might not have been as severe. So, I mean, what I'm really interested in is not, like, I'm past that we've all got these stories. I want to know, like, what is it? I just want more information so we can just have more of a conversation. Other than that, I think it's a demon. I think it isn't, because the same.
All right, Adam, I'll tell you what. Let's let Heidi take a stab at that. Thanks, Adam, for sharing the information with us. Heidi?
Yeah, you know, that it's fascinating to me how, you know, certain people are able to look at it from the scientific perspective, you know, as far as, you know, the cause of, you know, why are these images coming to mind? But again, you know, it's not always he's there when you're waking up from sleep. I mean, he is alongside of a road just before people have an accident. He's seen walking out of from the side of somebody who just passed, you know, walking away. I mean, he's not just you know, something that's being experienced like that. I understand that it's probably one of the more common ways that people are experiencing him. From a nightmare, waking up, he's actually standing in the room. But also, you know, people are just walking through their house and they see a cape. They cape, and they're like, there's a man walking through their house, you know? How do you explain that? You know, it's not always invoked from a nightmare. So it's like, I understand that, you know, science is able to potentially explain away some things, but not everything.
I think Adam had sent me an email earlier that he's working on a film. So maybe, Adam, you should probably get in touch with Heidi, and you folks can share notes a little bit. Thanks for the call. We're going to go east of the Rockies. Jeremy, who says he's trucking in California. Last time I checked the map, Jeremy, California was not east of the Rockies, but we're glad you're calling and you're on with Heidi Hollis.
Hey there. I was just going to call and share a story that I had with you.
Sure.
When you first talked about the hat man, I thought you was describing something like what I saw. But what I saw was different from what you're describing. What I saw was just a solid black figure that went up and had a hat on, like a old pipe stem hat. And but me and my mom was sitting on a sofa and sitting side by side, so I know I wasn't crazy. It come down the hallway and went into the living room, and I looked at my mom. I said, did you see something go down that hall? And she said, well, I saw something. Well, a few days later, I was sitting in there, and I was by myself, and it come down the hall again, and it turned and went come through the kitchen and went across the fireplace hearth and across another wall that had Venetian blinds hanging on it. They swung, and it went out into the carport. So when Mom come back, I told her about what I'd seen again, and I said, I think it's time we pray. So we opened up the doors and went all the way through our house, prayed for it to leave, and I never saw it again. But it was certainly something, and like I say, it was just a tall black figure with right. But it did have that hat, and right. I've never forgot that, and that's been over 20 years ago.
And here's a shared experience. So are you just sharing a hallucination? I mean, again, it's like, how does science explain that, you know?
Yeah, if Mom saw it as well and it moved the Venetian blinds, that was suggesting it was something more than an hallucination.
Right, right. I mean, I just don't understand how, you know, people are so desperate for answers. I understand that part, but sometimes, just sometimes, you have to take people's word for what it is that they're sharing. I mean, if they said that they saw a murder, you could put them on the stand, but you know, in a court of law, but they're going to tell you that, you know, something evil walked past and I saw it, and so does this other person see it, and they're not believed. They're trying to be, you know, a lot of these paranormal shows out there, they just might as well call them what they are. They're debunking shows. They're not paranormal shows. They're not looking for answers. They're looking for ways to make people question what's going on, and people are not getting very far. They're going back into their paranormal closets because of these types of shows. I think it's time to stop trying to always, you know, explain it away and just go, you know, some things just can't be explained. Let's just roll with trusting our gut and trusting people who are coming forward, just pouring their guts out to you and their heart and soul, you know, whose reality got shaken up. I mean, it's sad that I have to sit here on one corner of the planet, getting thousands of emails with people saying, I have no one to talk to. They can't turn to the person right next to them because they're afraid of the laughter that's sure to come. I mean, that's a crying shame, and it's an atrocity to mankind. I think that we need to start owning up and just quit with this, really. I mean, I think it's interesting. We do need the science, but we also need to stop, you know, making people feel bad for what it is that they've experienced.
Jeremy, thanks for calling and sharing that story. Appreciate it. We're going to go to the wild card line. Bob is calling in from New York. Hi, Bob. You're on with Heidi.
Hi. I'm 62 years old, and I've been experiencing the shadow people since I was about 3 or 4 years old. My grandmother talked to me about them and expressed upon me that I was in charge of them. They weren't in charge of me. And that I didn't need to be afraid of them. And she also said never to tell my mom about them because she was terrified of them. So obviously she had seen them when she was younger. And they've been constantly with me my whole life. And then when I was in my 20s, I experienced the hat man, but he looked like a farmer. He had bib jeans on. And when he has a hat, he has a straw hat on, But I can't say that I've ever had any bad experiences. In fact, it's been positive, the experience I have had with them during my life. And I was wondering I know the lady has talked about all the negative experience people had. One experience that's real short I'll go into, I had open heart surgery about 12 years ago. And my fiance at the time, when I was in recovery in the hospital, he came to visit her at her apartment and let her know that I was going to be all right.
Same guy? Same farmer guy?
Yeah, same farmer guy.
And now you're saying he was all in black?
Yeah, all in black. My children have seen him. They named him when they were little. They named him the Tickle Tickle Man. He's about 9 foot tall.
Oh, yeah, he's big. He's tall. And, that's another thing that's, a lot of people say tall. It's like you have no idea. Sometimes he's between 7 and 10 feet tall.
He's a huge guy. And I've seen him materialize. He materializes in my backyard. There's like smoke or mist comes out of the ground, and then he materializes out of that mist.
I'll tell you what, Bob, thanks for the call. We're going to let Heidi react to it. Thanks for tuning in and sharing that with us. The idea that he, Hat Man comes to somebody's home and says he's going to be okay, that's out of character for him, I guess, huh?
It's not really. I mean, he's been known to pick people up after they passed out. But again, he's tending to his flock, sadly. It's like if he does a favor for you, you better look out because he's going to be collecting at some point. But he tries to gain the favor of people. I guess that's the best way of putting it. But eventually, he's not going to be so pleasant.
Heidi, the idea that he's been with Bob his entire life, do you get that very often?
Oh, yeah. My goodness, yeah. That's probably the first pattern that I notice with people writing me. Like, I know this man. He's come to me since I was three, and it's like he comforted me. And my abusive father, he hit him once for me. It's like he's my guardian angel because he's done this for me. It's like, why is he tending to you? Why is he there? What is he finding that's so attractive within you? And that's what people need to figure out. You know, why is he coming? You have to look within and, is he invited? Were you playing with a Ouija board at some point when you were 3 years old? I don't think so. Sometimes it's not always something negative that he's interested in. And sometimes like a fly to a light, you're such a bright light, they want to make sure that they can control the light and that they could block out certain things in your life.
Let's go to Mark in San Antonio. Mark, you're on with Heidi Hollis.
Hi, nice to meet you guys.
Howdy.
Nice to meet you, George Norrie. I mean, George Knapp.
That's okay. We're interchangeable.
You guys confused. Everything that you guys are saying, that is, I can't believe it. Because, when I was in my teens and I was in high school, I wasn't necessarily a good kid. So I kept seeing this figure of a Zorro-type hat that was kind of like made out of leather maybe, a dust coat. And I could never, and I knew what I was seeing because there's a light right by my window. And I knew what I was seeing, but I could never see its face. And it started off with a nightmare. I'd wake up, I'd be sweating in my bed, and I'd be like, okay, what was that about? And then I turn over to my right, and there it is. And it's like 6 to 7 foot tall figure.
He's huge.
And it's dark. It's menacing. And so I was like, so I just closed my eyes, opened my eyes up again, and there it is. It's still staring at me. I was like, I'm wide awake. It was like, this is what I really think it is. This is somebody breaking into my house, it's somebody breaking into my parents' house. So I'd be praying. I'd open my eyes again, and then it would be gone for about like 4 years. And then it showed up 2 times when I was about to graduate. And one time I tried screaming, for my father, but I could not get, nothing would come out. And I guess the last time.
Not a pleasant guy. When you hear people say, you know, he's a good guy, isn't it kind of hard to grasp that concept?
No, I was not necessarily a good kid, you know, but it kind of straightened me out a little bit. You know, when I saw this thing, I was like, I was trying to make sense out of it. So
when
the last time that I saw it, it had like some sort of cake with candles on it. I know that sounds weird, sounds crazy. And I was like, okay, is that my father? And I was like, I started praying about it, opened my eyes again, and it's gone. But it always starts off with a dream, always. Yeah. Starts off with a nightmare.
Mark, thank you for calling in. I want to let Heidi respond to that. Thanks for calling and sharing with us. Heidi?
Yeah, that's pretty common, people having the nightmare and waking up and he's there. And, you know, you see how common it is, too, that, you know, a lot of the people, they're still shocked and they're still discovering him. They think that this is their own personal nightmare only. And I still, like, every week I get one. That's what? There's others experiencing this? It's not just me. It is a phenomenon, and it's just running rampant. And something that people should know, too, when it comes to the Hat Man showing up to certain people, there's also a big increase in sightings and encounters with Jesus. It's as if, you know, these different entities are showing up to people on their side of the fence or whatever. I mean, it's just a strange pattern that's going on, and something that I think a lot of people need to realize that, you know, they talk about this battle in the heavens between good and evil, and it's something that's going on in the privacy of people's own home. And we're laughing about it, thinking it's not real. You know, it's like you could hear it in the people's voices and their stories and what it is that they're sharing, that this is a real phenomenon.
You have a radio show. Where do people hear it? Where is it there?
Actually, go to my main website. I have them all listed there, HeidiHollis.com. And InceptionRadioNetwork.com, and I'm also on ParanormalCentral.net, and so I keep pretty busy.
Is it a call-in show? Do people call in with stories about Hat Man and Shadow People?
I welcome people to write me at HeidiHollis.com. Just go to the website. Feel free to share your stories, ask me questions. That's probably my most fun part of the show. The first 30 minutes of all my shows, I answer callers and emails, and I do get to them all as much as I possibly can, truly. And you know, I think it's something that needs to be done, that people need to make themselves more accessible, us researchers that are, you know, trying to help people find answers, to go all the way and put ourselves out there to make a difference. And that's my outright goal, is to hopefully get people to start accepting what it is that their eyes are seeing, instead of saying, my eyes are playing tricks on me. But you could drive yourself from point A to point
right.
B. Come on now.
All right. Heidi Hollis, thanks very much. Appreciate being on the show, and we'll talk again sometime.
This was a blast. Hey, I could go all night with you, George. You're a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot. Check out the book. It's called The Hat Man, The True Story of Evil Encounters. You've got a couple of other books as well. I want to say thanks to our earlier guest, Jamie Bartlett, for his book, The Dark Net. You want to check that out. And thanks to my colleagues there at Coast, Nathan Staten, Tricia Pepe, Dan Galati, our webmaster tonight, Tim Binal, producer Chris Boros. And I'll be back next week, next Sunday night, filmmaker Jeremy Corbell, to talk to us about the mysteries of Patient 17 and other stuff as well. Good night, everyone.